heart, our mind, and our soul that we are yours. That we are yours because you are good, because you are trustworthy. And Lord, as we declare that, God, we also just declare that we want you to have your way with us. So won't you come, won't you speak to us? Lord, as we open up your word, God, we just invite you to speak through your Holy Spirit that we might leave here changed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, so glad that you are here this evening. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor at Antioch Community Church, and we are just glad to be here. Glad that we have a church family, a church home here in this place, that and just love walking with you guys. Love believing with you to see God move in this area and then beyond this valley, and just to see and dream about what God wants to do in the months and years to come is really exciting for us. Isn't it good, though, to just be together and worship the living God? And I just was thinking about that, and we use that terminology from time to time that he is the living God. And it's so important that to really wrap our minds around the fact that he is not just a God who is far off, who is distant, who created this whole world and then kind of backed off and is kind of overlooking thing from a bird's eye view, but that he is actually a living God who is actively at work among us, who is actively pursuing you, who is actively loving, caring for, watching over. He is the living God. And so we worship him as the living God. And because we believe that he is living, it does something different to our worship. It does something different to the way that we live our life if we really believe that he is the living God and that he is with us. And that kind of takes us into what we are studying this summer, and that's faith. We are studying what does it look like to live by faith. That we have a God that has pursued us and that we want to follow, that is living and active among us. So how do we follow him by faith? And we're going through Hebrews 11 to do that. Hebrews 11 is basically a list or a description, kind of going through the history book of the scriptures and commenting and commending people for their faith, for exemplary faith. And so we're going through it and asking questions about how we can learn from how these people live their lives. How can we learn from what they believed about God and then what made their faith so exemplary so that we might follow in their footsteps and express a faith in who God is in a way that they did. And so we want to know God more, because the more that we know God, the more we're able to express faith in who he is. The more that we know God, the more that we are able to express faith in who he is. And so you'll probably hear me say this a lot over the course of the summer, and you've already heard me say it a couple of times. But the reason that we are doing this series and kind of the heart behind it, and we feel like God's heart behind it, is that he is wanting to establish and strengthen the launching pad of our faith. If you think about faith as taking a leap, the launching pad or the place, the footing that you take right before you leap out is very important. It's very important that it's secure and that it's stable and that it's not going to be slippery, that it's not going to bog you down like mud would or something like that, but that it is a firm launching pad so that you can launch out and reach the destination that your faith was meant to take you. And so what we feel like God was saying was that God really wants to, that he really wants to release faith among us as a church. And that there are a lot of people in here that are faith-filled people that have launched out in faith, but at times have not seen the result or the desired result of their faith. And God is highlighting the fact that at times our launching pad has not been secure. And the launching pad for faith is God's character, is knowing who he is and knowing his ways. So again, we are able to express faith in who he is. We're able to express faith when we grow in our knowledge of who he is. So that's our launching pad. So every week we're going to be looking at different people's lives and the way that they live by faith. But really what we want to see is who they believed God to be that established the launching pad for them to take a leap of faith. And so tonight we are specifically going to be looking at God and his relational nature. God is a relational God. And it was appropriate tonight that we sang about his love and about him coming to us with his love. That there was a chasm that was far too wide for us to leap over. But God comes and he meets us, that he provides the way over it, that he comes with his love. And so we will only trust God to the degree that we know him. And the good thing is that we have a relational God who pursues us, that when we know him in his great power, in his unlimited abilities, in his sovereignty, in his omnipresence, him, that he is everywhere, then we will be able to trust him. We'll be able to trust him when we know that his character is of the highest integrity, that he is morally perfect, that he is absolutely holy, truthful, righteous, just, that he never betrays a confidence. When we get to know him, we will be able to trust him more and more. We'll be able to trust him more and more, and we'll be able to take leaps of faith even into the unknown. These leaps of faith into things that we're unsure of, that don't make sense to us, but we are able to leap into the unknown because we do know who he is. And we do know that he is with us. So knowing God makes all the difference in whether or not we are going to live by faith. So tonight, we want our launching pad to be strengthened in knowing that God is a relational being, that he is pursuing us with his loving kindness. So turn with me to Hebrews 11. And so this is week 4 in the series, and today we are going to be in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So what do we know about Enoch? This guy who is listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And there, as far as all of the Bible is concerned and all the characters and all the men and women of faith, the list in Hebrews is rather small. And so what is it about Enoch, or what do we know about him that got him this position in Hebrews 11? And we actually know very little about Enoch. Very little is said about him. We are going to read the only account that is given him of him in the entire Old Testament. And then he was also mentioned here in Hebrews 11, and he is quoted one time in Jude. And so there's very little that we know about him, but I believe that we know enough of what he was about that made him a man of faith. And so read with me real quick, turn over to Genesis chapter 5, and this is the account of Enoch, and I want to read Genesis 5 verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5 is simply an entire chapter of genealogy. It's going from Adam all the way to Noah, and it lists each generation. So the father and son and how long they lived, and that's about all it says until you come to Enoch and we find a simple pause. So let's read that. Genesis 5, beginning in verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. So again, in the midst of a lengthy genealogy, we have Enoch, the seventh generation after Adam. And it pauses and says twice that Enoch walked faithfully with God. It says it in verse 22, then again in verse 24, that Enoch walked faithfully with God. A simple phrase, but I believe a phrase that we can draw a lot from. In fact, God uses this phrase later on in talking to Abraham, and he calls Abraham to walk faithfully with him. We see it in the Psalms that there are people and that people are called to walk faithfully with God. And it is a phrase that it ends up being used about several different people that were commended for their relationship with God and how they walked with him. And so we can learn a lot about Enoch from this phrase. Another way that this phrase is translated in different place in different translations of the Bible is this. So Enoch was well pleasing to God. He lived close to God. He walked habitually with God. He was in habitual fellowship with God. He found favor in the presence of God. So although we don't know a lot about his life from the Bible, we know that he was a man who had developed intimacy with God, that he had an intimate relationship with God, that he was known for it. And he really, in that way, was a man well before his time. There weren't people that were walking in close personal relationship with God. There were others who were speaking on God's behalf to them, and their relationship with God was a little more distant. And in much the same way that David, King David, who came hundreds of years later, he was a man before his time in the way that he worshiped, in the way that he experienced the Holy Spirit. He was a man well before his time. Today, we have access to God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have full access to walk in close relationship with God. But Enoch is listed in Hebrews 11 because he was a man before his time. He was a man who paved the way of intimate relationship with God. His life spoke volumes of God being an intimate being, a relational being who wanted to walk alongside of us. And so we are challenged by Enoch that we are able to walk with God, and that there is something beautiful about it, and something beautiful about the way that he demonstrated it with his life. And so we want to do that. And we use that phrase a lot. We want to walk with God. Let's walk with God. And when we say that, we're speaking of intimacy, that we know God, that God knows us, that we've been vulnerable before him, that we know his ways, and we want to walk closely with him. And actually, faith is impossible without intimacy. Faith is impossible without intimacy. And really, that's another way or a different way of saying what we've already said, that we're only going to walk in faith to the degree that we know God. In the same way, faith is really impossible without intimacy with God. There is no reason for us to take a risk in faith, to walk by faith, to move in places that we're unsure of or that might cause ridicule if we don't have an intimate relationship with God. So in essence, maybe somebody could look at your life and how faith-filled it is, or how you walk by faith, and see how intimate your relationship with God really is. Because that intimacy fuels faith. Intimacy with God fuels faith. God has created us for a relationship with him, and this is the crazy part. He is totally committed to his relationship with you. God is totally committed to his relationship with you. He is all in. He is all in with this covenant relationship that he has made with you. That's how much of a relational being God is. There are all kinds of misconceptions about God and who he is. And that I believe that breaks the heart of God, because he so longs for people to know him. And so even to the point of, I will enter into relationship with you. In the Old Testament, typically it was the king or the lords that would have people enter into a covenant relationship with them. And really, the Lord or the king had no, it didn't matter if they broke it or not. It was the servant that came under the king that if they broke relationship, then they would be killed or removed or ostracized or whatever from the kingdom. But God flips it. And he says, I am going to come under and into relationship, into covenant with you. And if I break covenant with you, judgment be upon me. So God says, I am coming into covenant with you and I am totally committed. I am not backing out. I am not changing. God is a loving, merciful, he is loving, merciful, faithful. He never changes. And he will always do what's best for you. He will always do what's best for you. You got to wrap your mind around that. Because if you have a God who is loving, merciful, true, and as we said earlier, that he is all-powerful, that he is omnipresent, that he is all-knowing, and he has the best in mind for you, that is a God that we want to trust. And when we trust him, when we have that core or foundation level of trust, then we are able to leap out in faith to great distances. So God tonight wants to reveal himself to us as a relational God that enters into covenant relationship. And the more that we know him, the more that we will be able to operate by faith. It's a story I thought of was a very simple story with my dad. Several years ago, I took out a loan from my dad. And I was paying him back with interest on it each month. And so when we talked about this, he told me that I could have this loan when we began talking about it. And when he said that, and he said, when he told me that he had the money, and that he would give it to us so that we could, get into this house and then just on these terms of we'll pay him back at this rate, I knew that he was good for that. I didn't know what it was in his bank account, but if he told me he had the money and that he was going to give it to us, then I trusted that because my dad has never lied to me. I had no reason to doubt that he was for me and that he believed in us. And it was this long story about the actual house, about how God provided a way for us to get it. But he heard that story and was filled with faith himself. And so I had no doubt that money was going to come through. And we didn't have to sign a contract. We didn't sign any kind of like legal documentation for a court or something like that because he also knew that I was going to pay him back. And actually we talked, he even told me, and if there's a month that you can't or do something or that, then don't worry about it. We'll figure that out later. So there was grace even built in to the covenant that we made with one another. But because we knew one another and there was an intimate relationship, there was just an automatic level of trust that went along with that. And because of the relationship that we had prior. And so when it comes to knowing God and walking with him in intimate ways, when we know him and when we have longevity with him as our Father, who has always been for us, who has always been good, who has always been just, then when it comes to a time of God, I'm stepping out by faith here. Are you going to come through? I feel like, God, you're asking me to do this, but I need this from you. Are you going to be faithful in this way? Then we have no problem stepping out in faith because of how we know him to be. So we've got to go deep in our relationship with God. And in an intimate and healthy relationship, there is an overwhelming desire to please the person that you're in relationship with. There's an overwhelming desire. So take marriage, for example. It's not only in marriage. It can be dating, engagement, and hopefully that continues throughout marriage. But there's this overwhelming desire that I just want to please this person. not because they've done anything for me, but just because of who they are and who they are for me and to me. I want to please this person. I want to bless them. And so in that, you become more creative than you ever knew or dreamed that you were. And you have all these great ideas of what would please them and what would bless them, what would make them excited. And it just is welling up out of you. It's not like, okay, I got to sit down and think about what should I do or what could I do. There's just something that begins to well up inside you of how can I have all these ways that would please and bless and make excited this person. And so we read on in Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have great insight here into our relationship with God. God has pursued us. And here in Hebrews 11:6, we are told what it is that pleases him. And it is faith. Faith pleases God. That in every relationship that we have, every decision that we make, that faith must be intertwined so that it might please him. So that our decisions are not just rational. They're not, okay, what's going to be the best for me or for this situation, figuring out. But in everything, I am basing my decision on faith. And so we are given great insight to please the one that we love. We please God by operating in faith. And it goes on and says, first, we please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So first, we must, in our faith, believe that he exists. Some translations more simply translate it, believe that he is. And really, that's a more full translation. Believe that he is. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to his people by saying, I am. That's my name. I am that I am. And here we are told we must believe that God is, that he is who he says he is. And so faith is the introduction to walking with God. It's just believing that he exists. That he is who he says he is. And so we enter into relationship with God by faith. And there may be someone here tonight that is being challenged right now in their inner man to asking, okay, what is this about? What does it mean to live by faith or to have faith in God? And this is the thought that comes to mind. That God, because he is a relational being, will always cause you to walk by faith from the very beginning. Because when we walk by faith, we're not depending on our rational mind, we're not depending on science, we're not depending on a roadmap that God gives us for the rest of our life, because then we will be tempted to leave him behind, to walk separated from God. Knowing him as somebody that's distant and a creator, but not really involved in our life, and that would break the heart of God. And so he initiates and causes us to walk by faith because he desires relationship with you. If you're waiting to enter into a relationship with God until it makes sense to your mind, or until you can prove it scientifically, or until you have all your questions answered, or until you can wrap your mind around this box, it will never happen. First of all, because he is God, and you're never going to be able to wrap your mind around who he is, around how salvation works, on eternity, on these kinds of things. You just never will, and it is somewhat arrogant to think that you will, and then when you do, then you will believe in God. So we're never going to understand it. It's going to take faith. And then when we begin to operate in faith, that's when God begins to reveal things. Some of the questions that we had and concerns, God begins to reveal things to us that those things are no longer concerns. They're no longer questions. Because it's not a matter of God not being able to satisfy. It's those answers, those questions. It's not a matter of him not having the answer. It's a matter of him desiring for us to walk by faith, because walking in faith is walking in intimacy with him. And so we first believe that he exists, and we step in to relationship with him through faith. And then it goes on and says faith is also believing that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believing that he is a rewarder, that he gives things to you, that he is good. Some of us would say, oh no, I don't do this for a reward, or I don't want a reward, I don't want praise. And there is obviously humility that is part of walking with God. But there's also something significant here about knowing and believing that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Knowing that when you seek God with all of your heart, there is rewards that come with that. That there is intrinsic value in doing that. That there is joy. That there is hope. That there is peace. That there is seeing relationships that were spoiled and soured come back to life and health. That there are people in your life that are sick that are going to be healed by your faith that you grab a hold of. That when we believe God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him, it changes our mindset on what we are believing for and what we expect to experience day by day by day. That today is a good day because God is a rewarder. And so I live my life filled with hope, with my head up high, because God is a rewarder, because God is good. Think about it this way. Think about a treasure, a storeroom full of treasures, just an expansive storeroom, a huge warehouse filled with treasures from God that he has just for you. I'm not talking even just about for the church or for this, but for you, the treasures that he has stored up for your life. And they're treasures that are only obtained by faith. There are things that God has for you. There is destiny, plans, purposes that he has for your life that aren't just a given. It's not just like, okay, God said it, and because he is sovereign, then it's just a done deal. That's not how God works. He says, here is a storeroom full of treasures, of life, of whole relationships, of people being healed, of fruitfulness in your life, of faithfulness, of children, of godly inheritance, a storeroom full of these things. And you can obtain it by faith. You grab hold of it by faith, by walking with him and believing that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So let's take the insight that we're given here and live by faith. And ask God, what does it look like for me to live by faith? And if we are to live by faith, then our enemy is unbelief. Our enemy is unbelief. It wars against faith. Not believing God is who he says he is. Not believing that God is good and that he rewards you, that he meets you when you seek him. Not being able to believe those things. And you've probably felt it before at some degree, that you've had a hesitancy in stepping out in faith or really trusting God because there's just an element of unbelief. Is God really who he says he is? Not only just does he exist, but is he who he says he is? And can I trust him to step out in faith in this way? Do I really believe that God is good? That he is a rewarder? Or is there unbelief warring at your mind? And it might be subtle. It might be evident. I don't know. But as we believe over the course of this summer for God to release faith over us, that we would be a faith-filled people and a church that operates by faith, there is a place for us to uproot unbelief. That first we must come against the spirit of unbelief in our lives. And I, in my own personal life, felt like I really came up against that spirit, I guess about 10 or 11 years ago now. And it was right when I moved to Boston. And I believe that there are spiritual strongholds over cities and different areas of the world. In Boston, one of those things is the spirit of unbelief. And it's caused by the rational mind that is exalted in that place. And I began to come up against it, and I didn't even know it. But I found myself not disbelieving in God. I certainly believed that he existed, that I had a relationship with him. But there was a subtle unbelief. And it was something that I eventually began to recognize, that I just didn't trust God. I'd always had a very simple faith. I just trusted God, and there was something warring against me that I didn't believe God. I didn't believe, I couldn't operate by faith because I didn't believe him. And it was actually something where I was really embarrassed to tell anybody, because I didn't want somebody to go, "Oh, you don't believe in God? What does that mean? What are you talking about?" And so I had some insecurity there. And then there was one night I was at a conference at our church, and a woman came and prayed for me, and she just had a prophetic word of knowledge and just began praying that the spirit of unbelief be broken off my life. And I hadn't told that to anybody. And she just began to pray in a very powerful and poignant way against the spirit of unbelief. And I never identified it exactly as that, but it began to make sense. And then God began to free me up from that spirit of unbelief. And it was a process that he took me through, but it warred against my ability to do anything by faith. I went to Boston because God had spoken all the great things that he was going to do and what he wanted me to be a part of, and I was so excited to be there. But the spirit of unbelief was warring against that, because if I was never able to operate by faith and say, "Okay, yes, I believe God, so I'm going to take steps by faith, I'm going to take risks for God," then I would never see the treasures of what he had promised me in that city. Does that make sense? That I would never see, even though God promised it and it was true, if the spirit of unbelief had come against me and remained there and I was not able to trust him and operate by faith, I would never have seen the things that God had promised. And so it is for you. So it is for me today, that I want us to examine our lives and ask God to identify any place where a spirit of unbelief has come against us. We just have a hard time trusting God. And we identify it. And we'd love to pray for you against that. If you, we're going to have a time to respond here in a little bit. And I'd love to just pray over you to break off the spirit of unbelief and really pray that you would be a man, that you would be a woman that is marked by faith and not unbelief. And in that way, we long to please God. And here's something significant as we begin to move into a time of responding. And this is significant for us, I believe, tonight. John 4:42 is about the woman at the well. The woman at the well is a great story about this woman that Jesus meets on the roadside. And in that story, he has a word of knowledge for her. And it really cuts to her heart. She realizes that he is a man of God. And she goes back into her town and tells all the people in her town about what God was, about Jesus, and about how God was living in him. And so a lot of the people believed at her testimony. And then they invited Jesus to stay for 2 days. And when and in that time of him staying for 2 days, it says many more people believed. And then the last verse is John 4:42. And the people in the town said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard, we have experienced for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And I felt, I feel a warning almost in my spirit, and at the same time a challenge that we must continue to move forward. In faith, in our pursuit of God. Because there will be a point in time where there is a crisis of faith, or where you are challenged, or where the enemy will come against you and challenge your faith. And we as a church want to be a place that fuels your faith, that encourages you, that there is a community here that builds you up to walk with God. But there will come a day that's not enough. And I feel like God was highlighting it that I've even seen in my own days in ministry over the last 8 or 9 years. That there are people that get excited about what God is doing in the church. And they're excited about the messages from up front. And they sense the truth in them and they want that. But they, at some point along the way, fall short of experiencing it, fully experiencing it themselves. Getting it in God themselves. And so when something happens or a relationship gets difficult or the church does something that they don't know if they fully agree with, then because they haven't really found out how to feed themselves spiritually, then there is a falling away. And so what we want to do is just as the people in this town did. We don't just believe you because you said it. And that's a fine place to start, to believe the testimonies, to believe the people that are your leaders. But there is a place where you have to come to the next level, where we no longer believe just because of what you said, but we believe because we have experienced it. We have heard him say it. And so we are going to follow him. We are committed to him all the days of our life. And we can walk together. And so God is inviting you to come to that place of not believing things just because others have said it, not because it's what you've grown up with, not because of anything else except for God himself has revealed it to you in a personal, tangible way. And you can say, yes, Jesus is Lord. And I will walk by faith all of my days because of who he is and the way that he has pursued me. And because I want to please him, because he is my Savior. So Lord, we want to respond to that challenge from you tonight. That tonight all places of unbelief would be fully revealed. That they would be shown in the light tonight. So that we could come against those places of unbelief and let faith be released. And in that place of faith being released, God, I'm asking for every man and woman in this room to come to a place of not only believing what they've heard because somebody has told them, but believing what they've heard because they've heard you speak it, because they felt your presence. They know you in a greater place of intimacy. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come right now. Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on us. Flow through every cavern of our being and blow out what is not of you. And specifically tonight, God, we're asking that you would blow out the spirit of unbelief and that faith would drip into our soul, into our spirit, and into our mind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand up, and we just invite you to respond to God. It is so important that we leave here responding to God's initiation, that we would leave here changed. So if you need to come forward and would like prayer, we invite you to come forward. If you need to turn to somebody next to you and just share some things that are going on or ask for prayer, we invite you to do that. But let's respond to God before we leave this place.